Ian, can everybody hear me?
It's lovely to meet you all. As Johnny says, my name is Rob Jones, and I'm a second-year ordinand in the Church of Ireland. And I'm, as Johnny says, married to Dillis, and Ethan, our new son, is just 6 months old. And it's been a massive transformation in the last 6 months, but I will be coming to that in my talk. Before I start the talk, I just want to tell you a little bit more about these Christmas boxes, shoe boxes, and how much of an opportunity it is for you guys to give into this wonderful charity. Basically, within the shoebox is a whole multitude of gifts. There's boxes for boys and boxes for girls, and they're crying out for them all over the world, and the ministry is just growing and growing and growing. And as Johnny said, you have an opportunity to either give 15 euro or an opportunity to come along on the 4th of November, is that right? 6th, excuse me, and help to fill those boxes and contribute to yourself. So please do try and give to that, because I know at Christmas we want to do something, want to help, especially the nations, and it's a real opportunity to do that. So I just kind of felt just to really remind you all about that. And afterwards, if Lynn isn't here, I will be here at the back to take any money or give any advice on that. Okay. I just had a real sense this evening. Usually when we finish our block of sung worship, either everyone is sitting down or some people are standing up, and you know, there's kind of a mix. But I had a real sense tonight when we were praying for the guys outside, there was a real sense of you wanting and us wanting to engage in that prayer. And I just sensed tonight there was a real hunger for that prayer. And that's something very special. And that's something only God gives, because my talk tonight is about persistent prayer. And one of the main attributes of persistent prayer is getting a God-given angst, and he puts that on your heart, and you can do nothing but pray. And without that, it's very, very difficult to pray this persistent way. So what I'm going to do tonight is talk about a passage which Celine's going to read out in 2 seconds, and then I've divided it into 4 points about persistence. But as Celine's coming up, I know you've already prayed for me, and that is wonderful, but I'd just like to pray a few other things before I start. So, Heavenly Father, it is a privilege, nothing more, nothing less, to stand up here and speak your word. It is a privilege and an honor to be allowed to come into your presence. You are holy, you are awesome, you are all-powerful, but yes, you are a friend, and you invite us in, God. And I pray, as we learn about this scripture tonight from Luke, I pray your Holy Spirit will resonate with us. I pray we will learn from him, so we can understand more of your kingdom and more of your heart for this place, for us as individuals, and perhaps even further, if that's your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I just want to, before Celine comes up, I've talked about 6 or 7 times over the last 6 months thereabouts, and all my talks have been very theological in nature. I'm sure you all remember the topics. And the faith and works, the difference between this world and or the cosmos that Paul talks about, and the world that God calls us to, that was a really exciting one. The missional focus that God calls us to, that each one of us are missionaries, and the aspect of the New Testament church in their understanding of being a missional people. And then lastly was taming the tongue. From James, when we talked about our responsibility as Christians of speaking and when not to speak. But this time, the title of my talk is Persistent Prayer. And this is something that is very much our responsibility. As I said before, it's something that's given from God through this angst and other bits and pieces we'll come to later in the talk. But it's something that's responsible to the body of Jesus Christ here on earth. It's something that we are responsible to. It's something that we've been given the privilege to pray to a God that has created everything around you, but yet sits with you right now and knows where you've come from, who you are, who your family members are. He knows the hairs on your head, and he knows where you're going. And that's an incredible, incredible message. And there's nothing else on this earth that even comes close to that. And that's why we pray. And God puts it on our heart to pray. Now, I'm going to speak from Luke tonight, and I just want to give you a small snippet of the whole aspect of Luke, because Luke, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is a very original gospel. You know, we always take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together, but in actual fact, Luke and Acts are the one book. And from the very beginning, when Jesus is baptized, all the way to the end of Acts, when we see Paul sitting, basically waiting to die, and the gospel spreading out throughout the New Testament parts of the world. It's one book, actually, and it's written by the same author. So next time you're reading that, when you finish reading Acts, go straight to Luke. Luke was the same book. Also in Acts, there's a movement towards Jerusalem in Luke. Luke is talking about Jesus constantly moving towards Jerusalem. And then when Jesus dies, everyone moves away from Jerusalem. And the message of that is that Luke is talking about the responsibility of the new church to begin to push out and move out its boundaries of who understands itself. But the most important thing that I think about Luke, one of my favourite books in the Bible, is he makes a very special emphasis on prayer. He's the only one that talks about Jesus when he was baptised praying, and Jesus praying the Holy Spirit down upon himself. There's 8 extra accounts, so just look through it, 8 extra accounts than any of the others, Matthew, Mark, and even John, extra accounts about prayer that aren't in any of the other Gospels. And the whole aspect that he's trying to portray in this is the surrendering of the Father in prayer. So when you're listening to this this passage from Luke 18, you can open your Bibles now. It's page 1052. It's Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, for those of you who have your own Bibles. Okay, Celine. Sorry about delaying you there.
The reading is from Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'"
Great. Thanks, Celine. I'll just turn that off, get some feedback. Yeah, perfect. Now, there's something so important in this passage I want everyone here to understand before I even begin to talk about it. And that is the aspect of this passage: the widow knows inside her that her cause is right and just, and she must chase after the judge. She's not of the understanding that it may be or it possibly is. She knows. So the whole aspect of this is chasing after the judge, knowing that her cause is just and her cause is right. And because sometimes as Christians, we're unwilling to hear the no from God, because an answer to prayer is sometimes no. We don't like it. But in this case, in this passage, the whole context is of seeking and searching after something that is right and just and God has put on our hearts as Christians. So please, let's get that straight from the very beginning. And I suppose there's a lot of stories I'm going to be sharing tonight. Usually, you know, we've exegetically gone down through the passage when I've been speaking, but this time we're going to jump around the Bible. So please make sure that you have a Bible with you or near to you, because it's important that you get the full understanding. But I'm going to be telling some stories about myself, because I have to admit that persistent prayer is something that I'm really learning about from God at the moment. I'm in theological college, and it is a wonderful calling of God, but to be honest, I'm finding it very difficult. I'm struggling with that, because it's just quite different to what I'm used to. But God has told me, this is where you are, this is where you're going, you must stay here and you must persist in that. So as I prepared for this talk, it's really been on my heart and I can really understand. So with some of the stories I'm going to use to illustrate. I think you'll see that. But let me just start by saying, just to bring back to the whole concept of something that's just and something that's right. My mother got cancer, and I usually bring this story into a lot of my talks because it's where I began as a Christian and received Christ when my mother died of cancer. But back in the early 80s, she got breast cancer. And she wasn't a Christian at that stage. She had been baptized, all right, but she hadn't understood about the personal relationship with Jesus. And at that point, she accepted Christ as her personal Savior. And everything before that made sense. But a few people came alongside her from the Church of Ireland, actually. And one of them was Owen's father, Jack. And Mum felt that she should pray for healing. She didn't understand what that meant, but she should pray for healing. So she prayed. And she prayed, and the doctors had said that it's not looking too good, but she prayed and prayed, and she was healed of that. And I can stand here and bear testimony to that. And for 15 years, she lived a great life. And one of her prayers was, when she got over that initial cancer, that she would just see her children be raised and grown up. And then when the cancer came back in 1999, in August 99, it was very virulent and very strong. And she said to me, and I didn't understand because I wasn't a Christian this time, she said, I'm not going to get over this, Rob, but I know the answer is no to this healing, so I need to pray now for God's grace. I need to pray for God's understanding. And there was a massive turnaround in her whole life being as she journeyed towards death, and it was a huge lesson for me. But I think the main thing was she understood when she should pray for something that was righteous and on her heart, and when she should pray for everyone else was saying, pray for healing. And she just knew that this was her time. But the day, when I remember I said she wanted to see her children raised, the day she died was the day my youngest sister graduated from Trinity, almost to the exact hour. And Mum knew that she was going to graduate. Now, some people say those things are coincidence, but when I stood in that graduation ceremony and I saw Bev graduating and the tear going down her eye, I just knew that Mum knew, and I knew that God had ordained that. So there's a sort of a practical illustration for myself, and I can understand then sometimes, yes, prayer is right, we need to keep going for that righteous answer, and sometimes we need to understand the no. And for us it is difficult because we live in a world of complete lack of persistence. If you think about it, the internet, let's be honest, how many clicks before you go onto another website? For me it's 5 or 6. Is anyone else resonating with that? Maybe 10, 15, 20 clicks. But have you ever constantly gone to maybe the tax website and you have to do 1,000 clicks and it's like you just pick up the phone and you're on hold anyway? But we live in a society where there's a lack of persistence. We want everything now. I was in Blockbusters about 2 months ago and I was just dropping back my video and there was a whole line of men and women standing there. They were going to get self-tanning. Now, I'm not going to give a show of hands who's done this. I was dropping back a DVD, by the way. I was like my tan. It's like, no. So I went, and I just asked, I was waiting in the queue, and I asked one of the guys, I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to get my suntan. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, for 50 minutes, I'm going to get my suntan, and then I'm going to be able to go on holidays with a tan. And I was there, but are you not going on your holidays to get a tan? He says, no, it takes too much time. I want to go there looking golden brown. So I said to myself, what is this? Why do we want everything so quickly? Why are we not willing to persist? Like McDonald's is another classic one. Everything's fast food. Everything's quick now. And if you look from years ago, especially our older generations, they understood more about persistence. They understood more about having to persist at something, have to continue at something. My granny is always telling me this. You have to persist. You have to keep on. So I think so. Maybe some of you understand that. But I've broken this down, as I said, into 4 main areas. So the first area, Paul, I've got some slides there. It's the PowerPoint presentation is called Go With Talk, an original name. Yeah, okay, that's the first slide. You can put that up there. Okay, first of all, let's turn to 1 Samuel 12, 23, page 282. Now, I don't know, I was going through my talk with Dillis before we came out this evening, and I don't know if the word prayerlessness is a word. Has anyone heard of the word prayerlessness? Yeah, well, Google said it was okay. I clicked twice. The first point is prayerlessness, according to the Bible, is a sin. Now, I know this word, it's a sin. I'm not going to try. It's not wrong. It is wrong. We're called to pray and we don't. It's a sin. So let's read out 1 Samuel 12:23. Let me just get it to myself. I'll take Owen's Bible to save me looking it up. Thank you, Owen. 1 Samuel 12:23. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Let's keep going. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. And if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. So the main one there is verse 23 about the sin of not praying. Okay, let's go forward to the New Testament, page 1216. This is James. James 4:17. We all there? James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Second example. And finally, let's go back to Luke on page 1046. Okay, that's Luke 12:47-48. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. Okay. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. And the whole concept here, I just wanted to bring you from the Old Testament then into one of the new pastoral letters and then back to the New Testament, just to show you, and there's so many other examples when you look in your concordance about the aspect of when we're called to prayer for something that's in God's heart and we don't do it, it's a sin. But I want to emphasize to you, it is a sin, but it doesn't separate us from God, as it says in the Scripture. We come to that later. But it grieves his heart. Because he calls you to do something, and then you don't do it. And it's kind of like the sense of you just feel you've let him down. Let me give you an illustration. Recently, a week before I went back to college, I lost the key of the lock, the chain around my lovely 94 Ford Fiesta. And I couldn't find the key anywhere. And I've been going on for about 3 or 4 days. Now, those things really annoy me. I'm able to stand in big things, but little things like can't finding keys or little things like being unable to sort out, you know, a book that I've lost, they just kind of get under my skin. And this was really going mad. So finally I said, right, I'm going to pray about this. And on Wednesday, I felt God, you know, just say, the key's going to come. You're going to be able to unlock your car. Because next week I was back to college and I had to drive that car because there's no other way of getting into college apart from walking. And that's just far too far for me for Clondalkin. So on Saturday, I said, right, that's it. The key isn't turned up. So I rang up a friend of mine. Hi, Justin, would you get your angle grinder out, please? So he came down to my house with this angle grinder and we cut off the lock. And it was like my neighbors were all looking around and sparks going everywhere. And we nearly cut through the steering wheel. And, you know, it was all chaos all over the place. Anyway, got to drive my car. But on Sunday, we had some friends over from college. And I was just picking up Ethan's carry cot to bring him into college to drive in the car. And there was the keys in the carry cot. And I just went, oh, I just felt so bad. I just felt that God had promised me something, continued to pray for it and hadn't done it. It wasn't a huge thing, but it's a good illustration of how we can sometimes feel, oh, you know, Sarah said to me last Sunday, will you pray for my mom? Or John said to me, will you pray for my house? And you forget. And it doesn't separate us from God, but it grieves his spirit. So that's the first point. We sometimes forget. And there's another slide to go with that, Paul, the next one. A blank slide. No, it's not there. No, that's the next one. Okay, let's carry on. The next point is point number two, which is Jesus persisted in prayer. Now, when I was praying about this during the week, usually how I do my talks is, oh, there's the slide, yeah, that sort of aspect of like, oh, why didn't I pray? Why did I not trust God? Okay, next slide, Paul. Some people actually know him. Does anyone recognize him? He's not here tonight, but you have seen him. Okay, when I was praying about this whole aspect of persistently praying, you've always got to go back to Jesus. You know, when you're giving any talk, I believe, you've got to found it in the Word, and you've also got to see what Jesus did. Now, he was the ultimate persistent prayer. And immediately I was brought back to his time in Gethsemane. And in one of the Gospels, it talks about, and this is an old sculpture, hundreds of years old actually, of Jesus. And Jesus up on the top right-hand corner, and he's praying while the rest of the disciples falling asleep. And he, in one Gospel, it talks about he sweat tears of blood. Now, the guy that I am, I looked up that to see, is that possible? Is it possible to sweat tears of blood? And it is. There's an actual disease where people get so anxious and people get so overwrought. In St. John of God's, there were some cases in Dublin, they sweat blood. They're so anxious, and the next thing is nearly a coronary attack because the heart can't take. So they actually do. So you can imagine when Jesus knew what was going to happen at this point, and he was praying, and he asked the disciples, he says, persist with me in praying, And they fell asleep. And next thing he wakes up, and he doesn't rebuke them. He said, oh, why could you not just stay awake for a few hours and pray with me? And again, I was just reminded that Christ persisted in prayer, and therefore we persist in prayer. So just keep that slide up. I think it speaks very powerfully of us and our frailties. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now again, look at your concordance if you want to, from Hebrews 7:25, goes back all the way through the New Testament scriptures about Christ interceding beside the Father, especially in Acts when Stephen is being stoned and Christ is seen standing beside Stephen, almost interceding to the Father. So Christ intercedes on our behalf, and we intercede on behalf of the church here in earth, and that's the calling upon each one of us as Christians. Now, I have a little analogy to show you, but while we're getting set up, could you turn to page 75 of your Bibles? That's Exodus 17:8 to 16, and Johnny Pardo is going to illustrate this point for me. Okay, that's Exodus 17:8 to 16. That's on page 75. Now, there's a very strong concept, and I think it was actually illustrated quite well this evening when we were praying for the guys outside. And that is within the aspect of persistence of prayer. First of all, there's the angst that God gives us. And next point, we're going to come to the Holy Spirit. But there's also the responsibility of corporately. And we're all different here. But the one thing that unites us is the fact that we can pray with each other because what was done on the cross, and we can pray for God's will. Now, in this passage, Moses is standing there, and God tells him, it's an illustration, to put out his hands, and you can read it down there in verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat in it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So God was basically saying to Moses, persist in this battle, persist in praying, persist, keep going. But he couldn't do it on his own. He had his hands out. Johnny's going to put his hands out there, straight out. Don't be embarrassed, Johnny. And there's no problem really for that. But as we increase the load that God puts on our hearts for a certain, maybe something in our lives, something that we're struggling with, so we can sometimes feel the burden ourselves. And as perhaps the anxiety or the pressure to pray for that begins to increase, we feel the burden more and more. Straight arms, Johnny. So now Johnny's struggling. And we're going to go four. Now, We're going to go with a massive weight, and that's the Book of Common Prayer. Now, Johnny, I'm not going to go more. I did actually have the old church hymnal, but it was too much. Okay, go, Johnny. Now, Johnny, basically, he can't do that. But Quentin and Tim, if you just come up quickly and hold his arms, just come up quickly. Okay? Now, just as the, Johnny, obviously you feel more able to deal with that. But the whole aspect of that is, you can all sit down now, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I know it's a simple illustration, but there's huge sort of power in sharing with each other in prayer. There's huge power in it. Because one person, and I'm going to come to a story now about my sister, one person is struggling with something and they don't know, God has told them to pray for it, but they can't do it on their own. So we gather around and we come around them and we say, yeah, we'll pray with you. This is something we feel is right, the will of God. Let's pray into that. And then you see results. And the illustration I'm going to give is of my sister Susan, who became a Christian quite recently here in this church over the last year. And I asked her, could I share this story? And she said yes, because she wanted to encourage this church. She couldn't have a child for 10 years, and she tried all sorts of things, and eventually she became a Christian. And she was in this church one night, and she went home to Australia. And the song that Owen had been playing on a Sunday night was the first song that was playing in the church she went to Australia. How freaky is that? But after the service, someone came out to her and said, look, this is really not policy and we don't do this part of our prayer ministry, but I have a burden I have to share with you. And I really feel that God is saying that you're going to become pregnant. And she just burst out crying. And that seems strange to us and foreign to us. We can't understand it. But within 2 weeks, she found out she'd conceived. And she just bawled and cried. She couldn't understand it. Then a few months ago, the baby was born. Her name was Lilla. Amazing miracle. But was born in very extreme circumstances. And the baby was nearly dying, something to do with meconium, and it couldn't breathe itself, and the baby was going to die. And my father was over there, and there was texts and phone calls coming back, and, oh, this isn't looking too good, until eventually my sister rang me in tears one day, and she says, Rob, I can't. I know that God has said to me this child will be okay, and I just need you to pray. I need people to pray with me, support me. You can't be with me, but pray with me. And we did. We prayed as a leadership team. We prayed as a family at home. People in here were praying. All sorts of people in the city were praying. And the child, within the time we prayed, within 8 hours, the child suddenly started getting better. And then some people will say, oh, that was just coincidence. I know that was the power of prayer. I know and I testify to that. Because afterwards, Susan was talking to the doctors last week and said, we gave that child 2 to 5% chance of living. And as we prayed, we saw something change. Now, again, back to the focus, she really felt that this child was to live and to pray for. There's situations where children die, and that's, we don't understand that, but when we're called to pray for God's will, we pray for it. And that's something that we need to remember as a corporate community. So the next is, so we've gone through the first two aspects of prayerlessness as a sin, then we've gone through the whole aspect of Jesus did it and the need of corporate prayer. Now we go to persistence, and it goes against the grain. And this is something, I think there's a slide up there, Paul, if you put up the next slide. There's, well, I don't know if you know this guy. I feel so inadequate. Everyone thinks that. Everyone feels inadequate. No, everyone thinks that you're inadequate. And as I said in the beginning, excuse me, I struggle with persistence in prayer. I find it difficult, and I would say if people were honest here, they would realize, you know, you struggle with it as well. And that's okay. It's okay. But that sense of inadequate, because we sit here and we say, oh, well, they're all praying. I feel so inadequate because I'm not doing it. But that's not really, don't let the enemy say that to you. You're not inadequate. Just come around people and pray the way that you can. Like for the last few weeks, I found it very difficult. We meet as a team and other people join us before the service. And I found it just difficult to pray. But God has just said, push into that and continue with that. But we don't have to do it on our own, as I said. we also have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this is crucial. He is the one, if you like, between two metal surfaces. If you rub them, it's the friction, but he is the oil. Now, John 14, 15 to 18, and John 16, 13 to 14, we're not going to go there because I want to keep moving along. But they talk about what Paul speaks in Romans 8, 26. I'm going to read that out. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So sometimes, and this can be difficult as well, sometimes we need to say to the Holy Spirit, I'm finding it difficult to pray, I'm finding it hard to persist in that. Give me the strength. And he does. He does give the strength. And without him, it can be extremely difficult. So we need to constantly lean on him in that, and not to feel inadequate, but to come before God. The next point then, point number four, is God hears all your prayers. Sometimes we sit in the void, and this can be a struggle as well. We pray out these prayers and we don't think God is listening. Do you remember that bit in Bruce Almighty? Has anyone seen Bruce Almighty? Yeah, it's a brilliant film. I was going to show the clip tonight, but Ethan vomited on the DVD. No. But there's a great bit in it, and sorry, I just remembered the incident. And there's a great bit where he becomes God and he's listening to all the prayers, and there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of prayers. Remember that bit in The Office? And he just can't answer them all, and he just hits yes to them all. And next thing, the whole of the city he's living in falls into chaos. And he just says, I can't just read all these prayers. I can't see them all. But in 1 John 5:15, John says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. And this is crucial, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. God is just, and he hears all our prayers and will act accordingly. Before I close, because I want to have some time in prayer, if you just put up the next slide there, Paul. Let's keep that. There's four children I got from the internet, and I don't know who the first three are, but the bottom left, you'll probably realize, well, some of you won't, that's Ethan. And when he was born, the first thing he did was he clasped his hands like that, and the nurse said to him, he's praying. Wow, look, he's praying, you know. And let me just tell you the background behind that, what really does touch me. And I want to finish with this. Ethan was conceived, obviously, about 18 months ago. And about 3 months into it, or no, about 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that, I'm always forgetting, Dillis found herself in a bad condition, and it looked like we were going to lose the baby. And we were praying again here as a team. And I personally thought that we were going to lose the child, and I didn't know what we were going to do. And Dilla said to me one night, she just said, and she was very upset, a little bit like Susan, she said, I know that this child isn't going to die, and I'm going to ask God for confirmation. Now, we'd already picked the name of Ethan for the name of the boy. And Dilla's prayed, and she said, God, I know this child, I feel this child is going to survive. Give me a sign if that's true. So she prayed, and straight away the scripture came into her head from Chronicles and also Psalm 89, of where Ethan is mentioned in the Bible. And from that point she was so resolute that this child was going to live. So it turned out the midwives didn't think things were going to work out, but Ethan again was born, a little bit like Susan. But just before he was born, there was a problem, and because he was quite a big guy, quite long, some of you will know that, when he was born, when he was in the womb, when the contractions came, they were pushing against his little heart, and his heartbeat would go right down. And I rushed in, I'd just gone down for a cup of tea, and Dillis had been in labour for 18 hours or so, and she was just about to have the baby, and I rushed in, and there was doctors and consultants, and there was people all over the place that had come in, and I was hardly allowed in, and there was something very serious going on here. And I could see from Dillis's face as she was crying, she was going, oh, what, you know, what's happening? And then something changed in Dillis at that point. Every time the heartbeat went down, she would pray. And every time she prayed, the heartbeat would go back up. And she was praying. This happened maybe 20 or 25 times. And the midwife came over to Dillis at one point, and Dillis didn't remember this because she was just whacked out on gas, to be honest with you. But that's another story. There's some funny stories about Dillis. She was convinced there was other people in the room and it was just me. So anyway, I digress about that. But she was praying. And the midwife came over and said, when she was actually shouting, and she says, God, this child will not die. I know it won't. Raise its heartbeat. And she, because probably the medication was on, she didn't care what people thought. But the midwife came over and said, well, you know, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I said, well, she's praying. And the midwife goes, what do you mean she's praying? So I said, she's praying for that child to come out and come out healthy. And as the child was about to be born, the head was just to come out, and the midwife said to Dillis, okay, here comes your child. Is it going to be a boy or a girl? And Dillis said, this child's going to be a boy, and it's going to be Ethan, and he's going to be okay. And there was just a moment of real sort of faithfulness and knowing that God's prayers have been answered. And I've got to be honest, I doubted most of the way through. I'm just being honest. But God called for persistence in prayer. And we need to remember that God does not break his promises. And in the New Testament, it's not a promise like the Old Testament, in that that was a covenant between man and God. The New Testament talks about a promise. And when someone makes a promise, we talked about this in Galatians, when someone makes a promise, it just takes one person. Like if I promise to give Peter 20 euros, he doesn't have to believe that, but I'm promising him. And God promises us in the New Testament. He promises that when we knock, the door we open. He promises that we pray according to his will, he'll listen. He promises that we will always be with us and never leave. He promises that we love him. He promises that his kingdom will come. He promises that those will be healed when we call out to him again according to his will. These are promises. And that's why we need to persist in prayer. And that is our responsibility. So Owen, would you come back up for a moment? The ministry time is going to be a little bit different this evening. I just want to do something corporately for a change. You see, as I thought about this whole aspect of prayer, and as I thought of the funeral home outside here, and again I was reminded of how this is a place of life, and that is a place of death. And God calls us as a people to pray for life and pray for his kingdom to advance, and that the responsibility is with us. Back to the parable in the original, and the whole text is about God saying, I am not like that unjust judge. I am not like him. I will listen to your prayers. You persist with me and I will listen. And that's the whole message of that parable, is that persistence with God who is just and listens to your prayers is heard, and it is honoured according to his will. And that's a mindset. So as Owen gets ready, as we sing something, the last passage I want to turn to, because it's a mindset passage, it's pivotal, is page 1203. And for those who read Bibles, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Prayer is difficult, and our understanding of God is very difficult. We prayed before, that we're humans, we can't fully understand the magnificence and the majesty of God. And that was John's talked with us in Hebrews 12. We sometimes can't comprehend that. But also in Hebrews, it brings it right down to who God is and who he is with us and the personal relationship that he has with us. So Owen's playing there. I just want you to think, when I read this out, do I believe that? Or do I struggle with that? Or yes, maybe I really believe that. Or maybe I'm saying, God, is that true? Or maybe I'm saying, how can that be? Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And because of that, guys, then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And the last line of that text I was teaching from this evening talks about Christ saying, "Will I find the faith on earth?" And there we have in verse 14, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And I believe that's the call for us tonight. That's the call upon all of us as individuals, to hold firmly to that faith which we profess. And that might be faith in a time, something to do with your family. Maybe it's a time in work. Maybe it's a struggle because you just can't push in. Maybe it's something that you're really happy about that God has done for you. But ask God for the faith. And let us hold firmly to that faith which we profess. So as Owen's playing the guitar there, let's just think about a God that sympathizes and that understands. And understands that we can sometimes push in. And understands that some people sing out in worship and they speak big prayers, and some people, they just speak quietly in their hearts. And that's the wonderful thing about diversity, we're all different. But you know what? God is looking for that heartfelt cry. Whichever way you wish to communicate that, he's looking for that heartfelt cry. Because why else are we here in this building tonight if it's not to cry out to Jesus and thank him for what he's done? So let's think about. And even looking at the pictures on the screen of how God calls us to be a child before him. Simple as a child.